You're listening to the John Curley, Sherry Elliger Show. And here comes Sherry now. Here she comes. Yeah, love her. She is everybody's favorite.
That's right. Dogs, yes. Kids, no.
Donuts,
cupcakes,
yes.
Donuts, cupcakes, yes. Donuts. Diving into the day. Happy Earth Day, all you hippies. Happy Earth Day. How many years have been doing Earth Day? What has this been going on for?
Since 1970, on April 22nd, uh-huh. It started. Okay. They wanted to all bring right. awareness back then to the environmental degradation.
That's right. So many predictions. The world's going to end in 5 years. We're all going to starve to death. The deforestation, the polar ice caps. It was all about the end of the world. And what do you know? We're still here, and they're still wrong. So that's the good news, I guess.
Yeah, it was created by a senator. And at that time, mm-hmm. back in the very first beginnings or the first year of it, 20 million people participated. Ah. Right after that, the EPA was created. And this year's theme ready?
The sky is falling. Yes. What is this year's theme?
Planet versus plastics.
Oh, okay. Let's all just not have plastics.
Get rid of them now. They are doing no one any good, especially the ocean.
Yeah. Right. Okay. That's our celebration of Earth Day right there. All right. So this actually involves reality. So the Supreme Court will be hearing the case that is brought before them regarding the little town there in Oregon that says, hey, listen, we if somebody's sleeping on the sidewalk or they're sleeping in the parks and stuff, we got to get out of it. We got to get them out of there. So the Supreme Court seems to look at this like each one of these. It seems to me I read some of the back and forth that these are local level problems and people should be able to deal with these things on a local level. And don't take that away from the states. So that seems to be the argument for the conservatives that are there, sort of a federalist view, that you don't know if a small town doesn't have enough money for shelters and stuff. It might need more money for something else regarding water or whatever. But each one of these have to be handled on an individual case. But it all goes back to the Ninth Circuit, which said that it's cruel and unusual to stop somebody. Sleep is necessary, and stopping them from sleeping is cruel and unusual. They've sort of pushed out everything out of the Ninth Circuit, and they said, yeah, we're going to just deal with this on a completely different sort of point of view. And it looks like from the early indications, I think they're going to rule on this thing, in the fall, right? Isn't that the case?
I've read June, but I'm not sure when it is. But this is a case where it's about cruel and unusual punishment if there is no shelter bed available. So if for some reason, you know, it's a snowy, terrible, awful night, can you clear someone, or is clearing them from the sidewalk cruel and unusual punishment because they will essentially then have no shelter?
Right. And they also say, well, sleep is a human condition, and to stopping somebody from sleeping, they need to sleep. Right. So, but do we have any sound from any of the Supreme Court judges, or just these two cases right here? Right.
They Como piece, they do hear a couple of the judges speak.
Okay, let's go.
The U.S. Supreme Court hearing a case with huge implications for homelessness here in Washington and all across the country. Justices listening to arguments this morning about whether cities should have a right to fine or criminally charge people for camping in public spaces. The court's looking at whether that violates the Eighth Amendment, which prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. This legal battle started in Grants Pass, Oregon. In 2013, the city passed an ordinance banning anyone from sleeping in public. But with no public shelters inside city limits, a homeless group sued and won. Lawyers for both sides making their case before the justices this morning.
think that it is harmful for people to be living in public spaces, on streets and in parks, whatever bedding materials, when humans are living in those conditions. We think that that's not compassionate.
Justice has raised a lot of questions about whether homelessness is someone's status or their conduct. Justice Sonia Sotomayor saying during this morning's oral arguments.
Where do we put them if every city, every village, every town lacks compassion and passes a law identical to this?
Well, the case shines a spotlight on an issue that cities are grappling with nationwide, and that's how to balance public health and safety. Elected officials from both parties are urging the Supreme Court to make it easier for cities to clear tent encampments. A final decision by the Supreme Court is expected later this year.
And compassion goes both ways, doesn't it? For the little league team that wants to go and play baseball in the park but can't play because the park is taken up by people that are living in tents, right? And then compassion also for the taxpayers that's spending billions of dollars to basically support the homeless complex that exists in cities across the United States. Compassion for those people must also be taken into consideration. So, from what I had seen from early indications, it looks like they'll probably be able to, I'm assuming they're going to rule on this. They could have kicked it out. They're going to rule on it. And you said end of June. That's normally when these things come up, when they're hearing them in April, right?
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, Jason Rance points out that if this does go through, or let's say that they say it is not cruel and unusual punishment, and states can do or cities can do what they feel is most appropriate. He says the mayor will have to grow a spine over this and decide what to do now. If they're given permission to clear these things, will he do it or will he cave to the people that are saying this is not fair? And even though there's drug abuse and violence and the safety of the public is in question here, will they do it? Will the city decide that this is a priority and something they can do, because they could potentially help the problem quite a bit if they did it?
Right, because you remove the fig leaf of, well, the Ninth Circuit said it's cruel and unusual. Once you got that's gone, then all of a sudden, then you really have to start to make some decisions. All right, there was chaos in the Republican Party. So you heard about this briefly in Spokane. So this is the first time the Republican Party said, hey, let's do this. Let's have a convention. So they have it in Spokane. And the reason they did this is because they said, listen, we don't want to be cannibalizing each other as a party. Let's choose our candidates now so that they don't have to battle one another as we head into the summer for money and attention and everything else. So let's get our candidates. Let's line them up so we don't have one bashing against another one, you know, as we did with the Attorney General and some different other positions that we had in place. So they said, let's do this. We're going to choose them. Well, the people that showed up at the thing were very passionate and wanted Simi Bird. And they thought, well, you know, we don't really want to nominate Simi Bird because of the stuff, the baggage that they thought he had, you know, regarding 1993. He goes in and signs for his father, forges the signature. And this is from 93. He took money, basically set up a credit card account under a false social security number. They got him on that. A few other things. The Republican Party thought, you know what? Not Simi. We'll just sort of clear the way. We'll have, you know, it'll be Dave Riker. Well, the people were really upset because they could have easily ruled by a two-thirds vote. No, it's going to be Simi. So at that point, Dave Riker decides, okay, I want to get out of this thing, because he didn't want to be nominated, didn't want everything to do with it. But the point of the whole meeting was to solidify the party, but it actually broke the party apart even more. Or publicly, you got a chance to see all of it. So is chaos and controversy. That's how it's described. And we'll talk one second.
Chaos in the race to become Washington's next governor, as the Republican frontrunner announces he is no longer seeking the endorsement of his own party. Former King County Sheriff Dave Reichert said he made that decision because he feels the odds are deliberately stacked against him. Cuomo's Ryan Sims is following this developing story. And Ryan, despite this decision, Reichert is still vowing to run in this race as a Republican.
Yeah, what a situation this has become. He insists it is still full steam ahead, saying he does not need the state Republican Party to help him get votes in the actual election.
My purpose today is to run for governor and beat Bob Ferguson in the general election.
Dave Reichert suddenly going solo. The one-time sheriff insists he will still get plenty of Republican votes, even without the endorsement from the state's Republican Party.
As a retired police officer, I'm all about raising my right hand and telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Yet this gubernatorial frontrunner says the same cannot be said about the state Republican Party.
It's very disappointing to see a process break down and disintegrate into chaos.
Chaos that followed the news that Reichardt's main opponent, Semmé Byrd, had once pleaded guilty to a financial crime. For that, Byrd was disqualified. Yet Reichardt says to his shock, Byrd can still be endorsed by GOP officials anyway.
The delegates were not told why the other candidate was disqualified. That should be public knowledge. It's public record.
For his part, Byrd said this whole controversy was overdone.
The story that people are trying to put out about me is some kind of a tainted and tarnished failed man. I think people are seeing just the opposite.
For Reichardt, though, all of this was enough.
I go by the rules, and when the rules state this is the process, then the rules need to be followed.
Okay, this is great news for Dave Reichardt. Sherry.
Yeah, Semmé Byrd get the nomination simply because Dave Reichardt dropped out?
No, they wanted Semmé Byrd. They didn't want him to be disqualified. They want him. So this is great. So here's why this is really good for Dave Reichardt. Because this basically, you could see Semmé and some of the folks that were, most of the people that were there cheering him on, sort of see that's the MAGA group. And this belief is, it started in the 80s. If we had a real Republican, I mean a real rock bed Republican, a real conservative, we would win. We can't have these sort of, you know, mamby-pamby rhino folks that are Republican in name only. We need a real Republican, right? Bible and Constitution. Get those people in there. So those are that, you consider them, if you put them in a group, that'd be the MAGA people. So by being rejected by the MAGA folks that would be there in Spokane, then it gives Dave sort of a clearing, like, look, those guys, and you know what? I'm not part of it. He distanced himself, moved away from that. So it does kind of get some of that stink off him. So this actually worked out in his favor, rather than the Republican Party nominating him and then having sort of Semmé there in the back. So now it's going to be the race between Semmé Byrd, and Dave Reichardt, Mark Mullett, and Bob Ferguson. So this gives, Dave a better shot by allowing the others to go, well, yep, those are the guys, those are the hardcore folks, I'm not that person. So now he slides in there. He's able to pick up a lot of independents and a lot of sort of soft Democrats as well. So that actually worked out for him. I'm sure he didn't plan it, but you know, as the chips fall as they are, that's what happens. So Semmé Byrd will continue to march forward. Yeah,
the chairman Jim Walsh, when he said this is chaos, this is you know, all of these things, when Dave Reichardt accused them of doing that, he said the 2024 WA GOP state convention is a real convention, unscripted and unpredictable. It's the voice of the delegates. They are in charge. They set the rules. They amend the rules. Our goal is to win in November.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Jim, but it gives the Democrats, look at the party. They can't even agree on a candidate. Look at that. But again, they will sort of sneak through on this thing. Semmé Byrd, that was the only comment he had made on this thing. I didn't mean to diss him, but is this him talking about me at the,
yes,
the Brantley crew?
Referring to
the leadership of the Republican Party in King County is definitely not in support of Semmé Byrd. That was evidenced when I was disrespected at their Liberty dinner the other night. I'm not sure if you heard about that either.
I seem to have seen some sort of post about it, but tell us.
Yeah. So here's how that went down. When the MC that was chosen, John Curley, say, and look at your paddles, and on the back, and now I'm just summarizing.
Yeah.
You'll see the logo of the next governor of Washington State, Dave Reichardt. And Semmé Byrd is sitting there.
Semmé Byrd referred himself in the third person.
I'm not a sensitive little child.
Bad sign.
Again, I'm a big boy.
Yeah.
Right? Served in combat and done all that other stuff. But I hope that you and maybe others, through that process of empathy, can say, wow, is that really how the party should have welcomed me when Dave hasn't been endorsed and I haven't been endorsed?
Okay.
Sorry,
Semmé
Byrd. Thanks, John.
Here's what happened. They
John
told me.
Curley.
Hold on. Here's what happened. They said, No one's listening to me. I'm standing up. There's no one listening. I said, raise them up so they can get a photo. They need to get a photo shot. So because Dave spent a lot of money, they get his name on the back of the paddles. Just guys, just raise it up so they can get one picture, right? That's all I said. Nobody listened to me. So I go, guys, raise it up for the next governor of Washington. And then they're like, woo, ah, right? So he's sitting there. We're just trying to get the one shot so we can move on with the thing. But I knew if you say that, maybe they raise it up. But he's a big boy, and he can handle it. So, again, the good news is Dave gets a chance to distance himself from the MAGA folks that were in there in the first place. So, oh, wow, what a mess. What a crazy weekend, huh? Yeah, yeah.
He better put his big boy pants on.
Yeah, get them big boy pants on. Good to know. All right, big points. And finally, this Joe found this that says, if you've always wanted to have a rooster, dozens are now up for adoption after the cockfighting ring bust. People don't like roosters because, well, first you don't know if you have a female or a male until all of a sudden those tails, the tail feathers start to come in. You're like, oh no, it's a rooster. The problem with roosters, one, they don't lay eggs. Two, they go around fertilizing the eggs, which isn't good. And they're not very nice. The roosters aren't very nice. And they tend to, like, they attack
loud.
You. They come after you. They're loud, yeah. They do the crowing in the morning and stuff. And they just... Yeah, so whenever people are like, oh, the tail feathers came in, we're gonna kill that thing, or whoosh, whoosh, whip it around. And so people are always giving them away. Where are they giving away, Joe, if anybody wants a rooster?
I believe it's the Pierce County Animal Shelter. Let me just confirm that.
Okay. Mm-mm-mm. I had a little rooster that I love so much, and every
Heartwood
morning
Haven.
Before the sun
Sorry.
Would come up. Okay. Every morning before the sun would come up, Sherry, I'd go and get him, and I'd put my hand over his little eyes, and I'd run him into the garage and put him in a dark box because I didn't want the neighbors to be screaming and yelling about him, you know, crowing every morning. Every morning before the sun comes up, run out there and get him and bring him back. It's like, oh, my God.
Does that work?
Yeah, yeah.
No. Well, 40 of them, after that good pitch to get people to adopt roosters, yes. 40 are available.
People know. Yeah.
And they've been rescued, like you said, from this cockfighting ring. But there's more there. After those get adopted, mm-hmm. they've got 60 more. They had 100 altogether. This was a ring that was started through La Nuestra Familia, which is a prison gang.
Yes. Yes, I'm in that party.
Yeah. Me too.
I've got the tattoos. Yeah.
Yep.
You were in that too? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I didn't see you there.
Let's miss that day.
Yeah.
Here we go with the John Kerlish, Sherry Elliker show, and you hear the president talk about they're going to spend another, what, $100 billion or $300 billion. So imagine being born, and all of a sudden they hand you a credit card, and you find out you have almost $100,000 in debt on that credit card. I think it's more than that at this point. I think it's $130,000. That's what every single American owes to the government to pay off the debt. So when you hear about, oh, historic this and historic that, they're just adding more to the credit card. It has to come from somewhere. And it's going to come from every single one. That's we all owe about $125,000 or $130,000.
So. $7 billion, by the way, not 300.
Oh, it's $7 billion.
Yeah.
And we get what? We get $100 million over here to Washington to
160
have solar panels.
160.
Oh, good. All right, great. All right, that's great. Thank you, Joe, for that.
I'll either be Roland Egg or, you know, being the guy who's pushing them out.
Come on. That's right. There you go. Thank you, Mr. President. They have there's an AI phone now, and on this AI phone, you can pick it up and you can talk to Mr. Weirdo Salvador Dali. Why'd they start with Salvador Dali as the AI guy, Sherry?
Because it's at the Dali Museum in Florida.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it. All right. So you pick up the phone, you get a chance to ask him. You can ask him. Hold on.
For years, people have attempted to understand my work, trying to find meaning in the surreal, to make sense of the dreams.
This is a phone call. I'll do what my Aunt Mary used to do on the phone. I loved my Aunt Mary, but it was really annoying. Call your Aunt Mary, and then this is what it sounded like when you talk to Aunt Mary. So, right, if Salvador Dali...
Of a historic genius. But how mm-hmm. can anyone possibly mm-hmm. know what is inside the burning mind of Salvador Dalí? No, mm-hmm. they simply cannot. Mm-hmm. They are mere mortal mm-hmm. human beings. But now mm-hmm. I can tell you. Introducing mm-hmm. Ask Dalí, an audio experience powered by AI and machine learning that allows you to talk to me. Hi, I'm Salvador Dali.
I think we all feel that way. Get on with it.
You can ask me anything. Just pick up my lobster phone.
Why?
Yeah, I got a question for you, Salvador. Why'd you like Hitler so much?
The clock's melting.
My dear questioner, think not of the clocks as merely melting. Picture them as a vast dream.
Why are the elephant's legs so thin?
Did you really dream all those things?
What's up with your mustache?
How?
Why did they exhume your body?
Hmm.
Hello, are you still there? Hello, Salvador?
They brought me.
What happened to your mustache?
Here is far beyond my
Okay.
Well, that's an interesting question.
He's he's such a weird guy. Once he drove a car that was packed to the roof with cauliflower.
Okay.
He was also obsessed with Sigmund Freud.
Mm-hmm. And somebody gave him an ocelot for as a pet. Yeah. He knew he had to commercialize everything. He was producing so much work and then he'd sign it and then lose it and he couldn't find it. And he was always trying to produce more stuff so he could keep the money pouring in. He was kind of an early commercialization of an artist. So he had to be as weird as possible and everybody kind of liked him because he was so absolutely strange and stuff like that. So Joe said, if you could pick up an AI phone and ask it, would you want to talk to anybody in the AI world?
If it was an artist, I'd probably want to talk to Picasso. If it was anybody in the history of the world, maybe Jesus.
Don't fall for this, Sherry. Because it's not real. It's not a real person. He's just like, now you're just in line with everybody else, breathing into that weird phone and smelling everybody else's cheese and root beer breath. And you're like, hold on, I'm going to talk to Jesus. Hi, Jesus. Hi, Sherry. You know, it's like,
well, but the information is taken from real sources and real data that they have on these people, so it's supposed to be relatively accurate.
I see. I know, but still.
I know you're not talking to Jesus.
Okay.
Who would you, come on, John, play along. Is it Milton Friedman?
No one. No, because I'm asking a question. The AI thing is being able to hear the question and then pull up the guy's voice. It may or may not be his voice. And it wouldn't be personal. It wouldn't be a chance to really have any true connection. It's just a computer. I'm just talking to a computer and they put the phone in there.
But
I was the same kid that we waited for more than 4 hours to talk to Ronald McDonald. And because a new McDonald's was opening up. I'm sitting in line. It was like 1,000 degrees out. My brother, my mother, my sister, and I were all standing there. And all of a sudden, I said to my brother, I don't think that's the real Ronald McDonald. And Chuck said, why not? I said, I don't think that's the real one. Because his face was melting and sitting in the hot Philadelphia heat. And it's all sort of smearing and stuff. But we had waited hours and hours. We were like four kids away from the front. I turned to my mom and said, I don't want to sit on his lap because I don't think that's the real one. That's not the real Ronald McDonald. My mom is like, heat stroke. She's like, let's get back in the car so I can smoke a cigarette.
Yeah. Which is exactly what Ronald McDonald was saying.
She always like, excited. No break for Ronald McDonald. Yeah. Now, I've always been one to stand up to I want the authentic stuff. I need to pick up the phone and talk to Salvador Dali's AI generated voice. And Sherry, I'm again disappointed in you. Disappointed.
Well, thanks for playing along, John.
I just thought it would be fun. I like Pablo Picasso, and I think that it would be neat to hear things about him. It's sort of like Google Talk, right? Where you're talking to the person, like you'd Google the question and they would Google answer you.
Okay. I'll be Picasso. Ready?
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Pablo, I really admire your work, but
I did not hear it ring.
Oh. Okay. Ring, ring. Picasso? Mr. Picasso, are you there? I have a question for you. While you seem to...
Sherry, I don't know if you know how phones work, but when you can ring, ring. You got to keep ring, ringing until he answers.
Oh, all right. Well, I thought he heard.
Ring, ring.
Okay. Ring, ring. 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 Ring, ring.
Hello.
You have reached Pablo Picasso's answering machine. I am not here. I'm out sexually assaulting women.
Hi, Mr. Picasso. My name is Sherry.
Oh, hi, Sherry. I did not hear you. There you are. By the way, I'm doing doing an Italian accent, even though I'm Spanish. Go ahead. Sherry, you're very pretty. You're very pretty. Can I come over here? Why don't you come to my house? Have you ever seen my body?
No, I'm curious about a particular work that you did, which is called Dora Maar. And Dora Maar was your lover for a while, but then I guess progressively as she became an annoyance or whatever, you started to do
overweight.
More.
Say it, Sherry. She was overweight.
Is it true that you would go from portraits then to cubism to try to illustrate the fact that you didn't like these women anymore? Although you loved women, but you were such a misogynist.
Oh, misogynies.
You aren't actually French, but you
do. How old are you? I can't tell. You're on the phone. I don't know how old you are, but I'm going to paint you.
Okay.
With three nipples. I hope you have a problem with that.
No, very accurate. Thank you.
And large hands.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'd be sort of like one of your abstract paintings.
I have to go. Bye-bye.
See ya.
How was that?
Oh, good. Good. See, I got a lot out of that.
My best quote from Pablo Picasso is he would go into the forest and fill himself with the color green and then come out and paint. And then he would go try to get other colors. And so he's going out and coming back. And yeah, but the way he treated women, oh my God, that guy, he would psychologically abuse them, basically kept them in sort of this emotional hostage situation. He was wild, but apparently he was quite the lover, Sherry. Did you know that?
I heard that. Also, my favorite quote from him.
Hours and hours of Picasso. Yes.
Art shakes, what is it? Art shakes the dust off of everyday life.
Now, get into my bed. Thank you.
Well, the
all
guy's
right,
got
thanks,
well, yeah, okay.
Covered all that. Sherry, I just texted you something. Here we go with the John Curley, Sherry Elliger Show. You follow us on Instagram? Sure, why not? Thousands of people are? Who wrote that? It's the John and Sherry Show. Sherry spelled S-H-A-R-I. John and Sherry Show on Instagram. Thank you, Joe, for putting me up dancing on the song Oklahoma. A lot of people asking for you on Saturday, Sherry. I did the St. Jude auction over at Fremont Studios. I think like 500 people. They raised a record amount. Close to $1 million was raised. Ooh. First item off the block. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Party at Curly's Barn.
Oh.
Come to the barn. That's right. So great food, great wine, live music, and psychics. You know our psychic friends? Yes. And I was so concerned that nobody would bid on it. I was like, oh boy. So I bought a table and put all my friends there to like cover for me in case nobody wanted it. It was like, well, there was sold out. What do you know? Everybody I brought in is going to buy it. And I said, okay, if you want to go, we'll take 10 couples. Raise your bid card if you want to go for $200. Whoa. With like 40 cards in the air. It's like, oh, we're going to raise the price. Cards come down 20, 30, 40, now 500, 560. 7, 8, 9, 1,000, 12, 15, 18, 2,000. So $2,000 per couple, and we got 15 couples, and three people came up to me later on after and said, will Sherry be there? Will Sherry be there?
Did like, you say I don't have the two grand to give you, so I'm not invited?
No, you don't have to, because then all my friends that I brought were like, hey, we're coming for free, right? It's like, what? Give something to St. Jude.
So are they in? You guys are
Psychics are coming.
Nice.
Psychics are coming. So it was really interesting because I've talked to both of them. Of course, get them both on the phone. They said it's really important people come to your party that they don't drink a lot, because if they drink too much, it messes things up. So I'm going to have to send an invite to everybody. And most of the people that bid and won, I don't know a lot of them, but that's okay. So they're all coming up, but we'll sort of say, listen, if you want a psychic reading, you know, kind of pull back on the booze, you can have that later on. But I guess we'll do readings first or something. And then they also said, bring with you something that belonged to somebody who had passed, and they'll try to connect to the person who's passed. The main thing is I just, if you bring guests, bring like psychics to a party, and I feel like a connection to these people and having them come all the way out here to the club, you know, paying them to be here. I just can't stand if like people were like, yeah, that's a lot of bull crap. Yeah, that's bull crap. Yeah. Like, I don't want anybody heckling. You know what I mean?
They really do that. They wouldn't do that. First of all, your friends wouldn't do that because they wouldn't embarrass you. And I mean, most people that are willing to spend $2,000 on a party invitation would not behave that badly. I don't think that's a problem.
Okay. Yes.
Are
you going to be there? 12th of October?
Sure. I mean, yeah, I would love to be there.
That's not an answer. Yes, that's very sneaky on your part. Yes, of course you'd love to be there. You'd also like to be the Queen of England, but it doesn't matter. The question is, are you going to be there on the 12th of October?
Yes, I will be there.
Wow.
Yes, I will be there. Okay.
There we go. There we go.
Do you want me to pay?
What, $2,000 at St. Jude?
Yeah.
I got you covered.
Okay. Sure. I'll take that along with your kidney.
Oh, boy. Here we go. All right. Good. Well, now it's got to get a band.
How many total now? What's the total?
How many
partygoers? Yeah.
That's going to be like 50.
Oh, that's a lot.
What about the guy that was on the know-it-all quiz 2 weeks ago? His band was really good.
Yeah, they were really good. Will they come out to the club on a Saturday night?
I'll find out.
But we also want to find, we want ones that people can sing along to and stuff.
Oh, like cover
that.
Band.
Like, yeah, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, we'll figure it out. All right, that's the, let me know we're back on the air rather than me just talking about personal things. Oh, we're on? Oh, wow.